Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Steve. Great. Good to be back with you on a Sunday night. And
you too?
Yeah, and good that you're not out on the mission field or somewhere, yeah. Or right here in the studio. And
can't believe a whole week's gone by.
It's amazing.
It seems like so fast.
It seems like we were just here.
It does.
In a whole week.
Yeah.
So hope you've had a good week. But anyway, last week we did a show about Jesus being the good shepherd and how he was the one with authority that went into the sheepfold. He was the gate. He was the door. He was the shepherd.
Yeah.
And the sheep, he knew his sheep. His sheep knew him. They recognize his voice and they follow him, and he leads them out to care for them and tend to them and takes them to the pasture and to the watering place. But there's false teachers and demons and wolves that are also trying to get into the sheepfold. And they come in by trying to jump over the fence or cutting a hole in the fence or whatever, but they don't come in through the door.
Mm-hmm.
And their interest is to steal, to destroy, to murder, to, you know, all the bad things. The good shepherd is there to give life and give it more abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of summarizes what we talked about last week.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a good lead into last week is a good lead into what we're going to talk about this week. And that is the commissioning.
Yeah.
And sending forth. And, you know, really our call as disciples and what the Lord has planned for us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we go about doing that?
Yeah. And I think that the important thing here is the teachings that he did that we talked about last week was to the Pharisees. And then Steve read the end of chapter 9 of John, just before what we talked about, where, you know, the Pharisees are all in a snit again.
They're just, they're really upset about this guy.
Yeah, they just can't deal with all of this.
Yeah.
Because they're holy guys, and like I like to say, they got to wear the cool stuff, and they're in charge of everything. And, you know, when they go to the marketplace, everybody says, oh, here they are. And they got this big phylactery, and everybody says, oh, wow, those guys are so holy. We can't even believe it. And they didn't like Jesus very much. They didn't like John the Baptist very much either.
No.
But what this really leads to, this commissioning, is what is going to happen after Jesus has done his teaching. He's gone to the cross. He's been raised from the dead. He's going to ascend back to the Father, and then what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Because, you know, keeping in mind that these disciples of his are living in this particular area, they're Jewish people that know the Jewish scriptures, know the Jewish Messiah, and they know from the Torah, from the prophets, that this is the Messiah. They've experienced him. They know it in a Jewish context.
Yes.
And now they're going to be commissioned to go through the whole world.
Yeah.
Which is going to be to those dirty Gentiles, to all kinds of unusual places, to all kinds of foreign, strange lands that they don't even know about.
Right.
And to think that these guys from this little lake in Galilee would end up in Rome and in Athens and in all these other places in the world.
Asia Minor.
It's amazing. I mean, Rome was the capital of the world.
Yeah.
And here was this, you know, Peter and some of the others that were just, you know, fishermen and not really educated, didn't really know anything other than they met the Messiah.
Right.
Being in the capital of the world, preaching the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then ultimately dying for it. How is that going to come about?
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, we're going to talk about Pentecost at kind of a little different time, because Pentecost is really how it's going to come about.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to be a commissioning that goes on. And after the resurrection and before the ascension, which as you know, there's not really a lot written in the scriptures about. We don't really have a lot of details of that time.
Right.
And it's kind of a 40-day period of time where there's few stories.
Yeah, Jesus appears to a disciple several times in the passages.
And we talked about one of them a couple of weeks ago where he made him barbecued fish for breakfast. And,
yes.
and they were in the boat. And before he leaves, before he goes back to heaven physically, he's going to have a little talk with them in kind of a different way that's going to lead them to the ministries that they're all going to have. And they're all going to have a unique ministry within the plan, and they're all going to be commissioned by him. The Holy Spirit's going to fall on them. They're going to go out from their place, and this sorry bunch of guys is going to spread the gospel through the whole world. Sorry, guys.
There you
is
go.
Gonna spread, it's a good sense. There you go.
I think there's going to be 12 people waiting for you at the gates.
Boy, Peter's going to be the first one. Yeah. That's okay. I'm going to Starbucks with Paul. But anyway, so as usual, you ready to read?
Yes.
All right. How about let's read Matthew chapter 28, 16 through 20.
28, 16, 16.
This is the 20? End of the book of Matthew.
Okay. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age."
Whew. That's pretty neat. So now, this is after the resurrection.
Yeah.
So they haven't picked a guy to replace Judas yet, because they didn't do that till Acts chapter 1.
Right.
So there's 11 of them. Because then Peter said, "Listen, we're going to pick a new guy to take Judas's place, but we're not going to do that till Acts chapter 1. Mm-hmm. No, that's just a little joke there. So these 11 apostles who were his inner group. You know, this was like the core group of the ministry. I mean, this was the core of the core group. Judas, of course, wasn't the core group, but
yeah,
he got, you know,
yeah. Unfortunately, he's
kind of out of the core group, and he's dead. And that's an interesting thing too. When we were talking about how false teachers can look like shepherds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you would have been in Galilee or even in Jerusalem and you would have seen Jesus and the 12, including Judas, walking around, and you'd have looked at Judas and you would have said, "Wow, that guy's really awesome. He's there with Jesus. He's there with these guys. And he's the treasurer. You know, he carried the purse. So Jesus must really trust him.
Yeah.
He's got this very responsible position." And, you know, you would have thought this guy was really in with Jesus. This guy was really an important authority in this new ministry, in this new movement. And it turns out that he's the traitor.
Yeah.
So you can't always go by appearances.
Yes. No, you can't.
So now, you know, they went to Galilee, to a place that Jesus had appointed for them to go,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of neat. Remember, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. He set the time of when he was going to appear to them, what he was going to do. So he tells them to go to this mountain in Galilee. We don't know where it is. Some people think it's the same mount as the Mount of the Transfiguration, but we don't really know that.
Right.
Which is Mount Tabor. And he says some interesting things to them. You know, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." I go, whoa. Now remember, this is the post-resurrection Jesus. This is, you know, a pretty different looking Jesus than they would have seen Good Friday, or that they would have seen when they were, you know, with him in Galilee. And, you know, he's in back in the home, kind of their home turf, which was Galilee, mm-hmm. on this place that he's, you know, preordained for them to meet when he's going to have this little talk with them. Now, this is about 100 miles from Jerusalem. Now, for these, you know, these men, these 11 apostles, and we don't know if anybody else was with them, they went about 100 miles on foot to go to this place.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, they were in Jerusalem praying, and, you know, the events of Easter weekend happened, and now they're in Galilee, so they have to walk all the way back up there. And, you know, when he appears there, there probably were a lot of other people there because, you know, there was, Paul mentions that, you know, he was seen by 500 of the brethren, you know, at one time. So we don't know if this was that place, but, you know, he goes to a place where they can all see him, where that he preordains, and they obey his command. So this is kind of a public appearance. So they're there with him, and it says that they worship him.
Yes.
So they fall down, they're praising, they're praying, whatever. We don't know exactly what they were doing, but they were worshiping him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the book of Revelation, when John falls down in front of an angel, the angel picks him up and says, stop doing that.
Yeah.
Because I'm a creature just like you. You know, we're not, you know, we don't worship other creatures. We only worship God.
Right.
So Jesus didn't say, you know, a lot of people say, Jesus never said he was God. Well, he did many times, but here we have a place where his apostles are worshiping him. And if he were simply a man, a good teacher or whatever, as a faithful Jew, he would have said, stop that. Because
mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to worship me. You're only supposed to worship God.
Right.
This is another example where there's no question that Jesus said that he was God.
Right.
And he let these guys worship him.
Yeah.
And, some of them doubted.
Yeah.
You know, some of them were like, well, I don't know. Looks like him. I don't know. But Jesus talks to all of them. He doesn't say, okay, I see you two in the back. You don't believe it. I see you over there. You don't, you know, he talks to all of them as a group.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't call out the ones that he knows have doubts.
Right.
Cause you know, they're all human beings. They don't know what's going on.
Right.
I mean, here's their master that they've been with all this time. Many of them saw him die, saw him put in the tomb. They've seen him a couple of times since then. Now he's standing on this mountain with them and he's going to tell them a bunch of stuff. They're like, I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah.
And you know, it's easy for us to criticize them, but you know, if you put yourself in their position, you wouldn't know what was going on exactly either.
He would have his glorified body, his risen body.
Yeah.
And you know, they've doubted. There's been doubts ever since Jesus rose and he started appearing to the disciples. So this is
the upper room. It's a ghost.
Yeah. You know, Thomas, you know, unless I put my finger in the nail mm-hmm. marks and put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe, mm-hmm. you know.
It's a wild story.
And we have to remember, nobody ever rose from the dead.
Right.
You know, so this would be something totally just out of the ordinary to them. Just so far out of the ordinary that they probably would have trouble believing that this person rose from the dead
mm-hmm.
in their own humanness.
Yeah.
And so to read that, you know, they doubted, it's interesting because they worshiped him.
Mm-hmm.
So they're worshiping him, but yet they still doubted at some point,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think that speaks to us today because we worship God, mm-hmm. but I think there's a time where we still,
mm-hmm.
we don't trust the Lord as much as we obviously should at times.
Yeah.
You know, I think everybody may experience that at one time or another in their lifetime where, you know, you're following the Lord and he provides for you. He provides for you. And then something else comes along and you may think, oh boy, you know, what am I going to do now?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden it's like, I forget. Oh yeah. I just got to, you know, the Lord's provided for me all this time.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden there's this, you know, point in time where I go, oh, what am I going to do now? And I just, you know, in my own humanness.
Yeah.
Fail to trust as much in God as I need to.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think we all do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all basically want to be independent and rely on ourselves.
Oh, yeah. It's very much ingrained in our culture.
Yeah. And as we've talked many times on this show, people are used for his purposes. People are used to do ministry. People are used to advance the kingdom despite our weaknesses and our failings and our sinfulness and our nature and our everything. Because, you know, we're flawed in so many different ways that if God were only going to pick holy people to advance the kingdom, it would be a really small kingdom.
There wouldn't be any.
It wouldn't be anybody.
I mean, think about it. Everybody sins. Yes. Everybody's a sinner. And if we stopped ministering when we sinned,
yeah,
and then didn't go back and ask God for forgiveness,
yeah,
and pick up the ministry again,
yeah,
there would be no ministry.
That's right.
It would,
exactly,
it would cease to be.
Yeah. So he would have known, and if he's standing in front of all these guys, all these people, we don't know exactly who was there, how many, and I don't want to say guys, there might have been women there too, but he's standing there knowing full well what each one of them is thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows which one of them are doubting. He knows which one of them are saying, well, this is impossible. How can this be? And is that really him? Looks like him, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't raise that as a problem.
Right.
You know, he doesn't say, well, those of you that are doubting, now step over there.
Right.
And those of you that aren't doubting, like, you guys that are on board, come over here. I want to have a talk with you. I'll get to you guys later.
Yeah.
He talks to the whole group.
He is now there to prepare them for the mission that is at hand.
Exactly.
That has been prepared for them from the foundation of the world.
Exactly.
Yeah. And there is no time to get into all this other stuff. It's,
that's right.
Peter, do you love me?
Yeah.
You know that I love you.
Yeah.
You know, we went through that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Now it's all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me.
Mm.
That's authority.
That's authority.
Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, and how to do it, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You know, and teach them everything that I commanded you to do.
Yeah.
And then he tells them, I'm going to be with you until the end of the
mm-hmm.
age.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. There's never been anyone in the history of humanity that has stood someplace and said, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me.
They may try and take it.
Yeah. I mean, we may see that when the Antichrist comes. He
yeah.
may say that.
Yeah.
But this is the true one.
And see, that is what we talked about last week about the good shepherd and entering through the gate. All power and authority is God and God's alone.
Amen.
And he may give us a share of that power and that authority as we walk and minister
yeah.
through the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
But our teaching is not our own. And if I'm a disciple of the Lord, my life is not my own
mm-hmm.
because I've been purchased at the price of his own blood.
Yeah.
And I'm to live for the Lord
yeah.
and to follow the voice of the shepherd.
That's what he tells Peter.
Yeah.
Now you're going to go where you don't want to go. People
exactly.
are going to take you where you don't want to go.
Exactly.
It's a break already. Can't believe it. Anyway, remember to search for Gift of Grace on Facebook and leave us a comment, and giftofgraceministries.org. If you want to see what else we have on the website, Stephen has put, I think, all the radio shows on.
It's up to date.
And there's some Bible teachings, some audio teachings, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Can you hear it? Thunder in the distance when we worship. Lion of Judah roars, strongholds crumble all around us. In the presence of the Lord, there'll be victory in the camp at the shout of El Shaddai. Every enemy will flee from the fire in his eyes. Every captive will be free. In this year of Jubilee, when we hear the shout of El Shaddai,
can you hear it? Thunder in the distance when we worship. The Lion of Judah roars. Strongholds crumble all around us. In the presence of shout.
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Phil Giuliani with Stephen Garchar, and that's an awesome song.
That is.
Oof. We are here just starting to talk about the Great Commission, and next thing you know, the show will be over. But anyway, so here in this passage that Stephen just read, which is the very end of the book of Matthew, chapter 28, he's going to give them their credentials. He's going to give them their mission, and he's going to send them out as his ambassadors. You know, Paul says we're ambassadors for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a very amazing thing. And I heard a story once about I can't remember who it was, on a plane where the guy sitting next to him said, well, what do you do for a living? And he said, I'm an ambassador. And the guy said, wow, you're an ambassador? He goes, yes, I'm an ambassador for Christ. And the guy said, oh, I thought you were a real ambassador.
Ooh.
But, you know, but we are ambassadors for him. And he's going to send these guys out as his ambassadors, as his representatives. And does he have the authority to do that? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
As you just said a couple of times, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him.
Mm-hmm.
So all the authority from the Father, all the authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. Nobody else can say that. He's the foundation of this. He's the mediator of the new covenant. He's the king of the universe. He sits on the throne of David. He's the Lion of Judah. I mean, all these messianic titles.
Yes.
He's standing there being the personification of all these messianic titles.
Mm-hmm.
And he's there in his glorified body, the God-man, second person of the Trinity, and the glorified body of Jesus of Nazareth, saying, I have the authority to do this, and I have picked you guys to go out into the world and spread this message. He doesn't say that in exactly those words, but that's what he's saying. And as it says in Revelations, the kingdoms of the world are going to become his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
The kingdoms of the world are going to become the kingdoms of God and the kingdoms of his Christ. And again, it goes through this whole plan of salvation, because God starts with one man, Abraham, and now the message of salvation is not only going to go to the Jews. He's not going to tell them, look, you're going to stay in Jerusalem and the rest of Judea and preach, and then three or four of you are going to go back up to Galilee and preach, but don't tell any of the Samaritans about this, and don't tell the Romans about this, and don't go, you know, just tell the Jews about this. He says you're going to go out into the whole world and you're going to preach this gospel. So this plan of salvation's gone from Abraham to his family to the nation to now it's going to go through the Gentiles. It's going to go through, as he says, through all the nations.
Yeah.
This is really amazing. And the authorities given to him, you know, he doesn't take the authority. He doesn't get the authority illegally. He doesn't usurp the authority. He's the authority.
Yeah.
He is the authority. In Psalm 2, verse 6, David writes, I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Well, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And in Luke 1:32, you know, just as the infancy narratives are starting, and this is, you know, the angel Gabriel talking to the Virgin Mary, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David.
Yeah.
So he's going to be king. He's going to be Lord of all. And this is going to be, this plan was made, as we said before the foundation of the world. He has the authority. He says, you guys are being commissioned by me. I have the authority.
Yeah.
You know, the Pharisees have some authority, but they don't have authority to send you all over the world.
Right.
Joe over there has no authority. I got all the authority in heaven and in earth, and I'm going to send you guys.
Yeah. And, you know, we alluded to this or talked about it last week and many other times on the show, is that, you know, where Jesus said, like in John 10:16, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These I also must lead, and they will hear my voice.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be one flock and one shepherd. And, you know, even if you go back to Matthew chapter 10, where during his time of being with the disciples, he sends them out, and he's telling them, behold, I am sending you like sheep in the midst of wolves, so be shrewd as serpents and as simple as doves, but beware of people, for they will hand you over to courts and scourge you in their synagogues. Now, he's telling them all this well before, when they were still walking with him, well before his passion, death, and resurrection.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, if you look at, through the Gospels, what Jesus was telling them beforehand, they didn't understand it.
Right. Exactly.
And I don't think they still understand it as to what is really going to happen. And I think it's a good example for us as believers that when we give our yes to the Lord and we say, yes, Lord, I receive you as my Lord and Savior, come to my life, and we give possession of our lives over to the Lord, do we really know what we're handing, or do we really know what we're going to receive? We know that there's the gift of salvation, but do we really know what's going to happen day to day and what the Lord's going to call us to do day to day?
We don't.
No, we don't. And
that's why he said, pick up your cross and follow me.
Pick up your cross and follow me. And it's a matter of trust. Mm-hmm. It's a big matter of trust.
Yeah. And, you know, that's another thing that we hear that verse all through our lives, pick up your cross and follow me. And we think, oh, well, yeah, I know. There's going to be some suffering and it's going to be hard. And But when you put yourself in the position of those guys who heard him say, you have to pick up your cross and follow me, what he's saying to them is, you have to pick up this instrument of execution, this horrible thing that the Romans used to kill criminals. You have to pick that up and you have to follow me. See, we don't look at it that way because we see crosses as, you know, they're jewelry pieces and people have them around their neck and they decorate churches and say, oh, that's a nice cross. And they saw a cross as a horrible instrument of execution.
Yes.
You know, when they saw people on crosses, it was an ugly sight and they saw this.
Yeah.
So when he said to them, well, if you're going to follow me, you're going to pick up your cross and follow me. They're like, whoa. What does that mean? I don't want to cross.
Yeah. And you see that Jesus would talk to them in that way many times as he would address them that they didn't understand.
Yeah.
You know, and he was telling them the truth.
Yeah. And they really couldn't possibly understand it.
Yeah.
We look back in retrospect and say, well, of course, you know, they have to follow him and they're going to suffer. Well, of course.
Yeah.
But we have to suffer too. Mm-hmm. But we say, yeah, Lord, I want to follow, but you know, on Sunday, I got this baseball game I got to go to. And then next Friday, I got this swim meet I got to be at. And, you know, I can't do this because I got my job. You know, then I'm going to be in trouble at my job if I do that.
Yeah.
See, that's not picking up your cross and following him.
No, it's not all the time.
Yeah. And compared to what those guys had to do, I mean, we complain about silly stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, really silly. Like, we don't want to be inconvenienced on an evening where we wanted to go home and watch TV, but if we're called to go someplace to do something, we say, oh, not today. I got to go home and watch TV and relax.
You know, we've talked about being a disciple and what does it mean to be a disciple and laying our lives down to serve God and to follow him and to do his will. But I think it's helpful for us every once in a while to really come back to that and ask ourselves that question and to reexamine that as we grow and serve the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus, of Yeshua, of the Messiah, and to share in the anointing of Christ? You know, there's the anointing that came upon Jesus at the baptism, at his baptism in the Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Is the same anointing, it's the same Holy Spirit that also he sends to us to impel us to do his will. But we, and the term Christian kind of means a lot of different things to a lot of different people nowadays. You know, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ, but, you know, what does it really mean to be a follower? What does it really mean to lay your life down? What does it really mean to surrender your will to the will of the one who paid your debt. And, you know, I see people in ministry that they are gone week after week from their families, you know, because the Lord has called them to the nations.
Yeah.
And I think, wow, what a sacrifice they are making, but they're making it in the name of the Lord. You know, so they're not doing it for themselves, for their own glory, but that's what God's given them to do. And to do God's will, sometimes we need to leave some things behind and follow him. And that's not always going to be an easy thing to do, especially if we have a family. We have, you know,
a nice job,
those types of things. But that anointing that came upon Jesus in the Jordan, the first followers of Jesus, the early believers, really understood that they shared in the anointing of Christ.
Yeah.
Father Contalamessa talks about this in a book called The Holy Spirit in the Life of Jesus, where he talks about how the first believers understood that just to be, you know, to be called a Christian wasn't so much as they coined it in Antioch. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at those Christians. Mm-hmm. You know, but that to be a Christian was that you shared in the anointing of Christ.
Mm.
You believed that you had the power to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to set people free, just as Christ did when he walked this earth.
Yeah.
Because he had the power and authority.
Yes.
Just as he's...
That's right.
And that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a power and authority. All power and authority is given to me in heaven and on earth over all creation. And so he's giving them that same power.
Yeah.
And you don't, you know, you can't buy that power.
Yeah.
You can't, you just can't assume that power, or you just can't assume anything like that, because if you do, you're a thief and a robber.
Yeah. He's giving it to them based on his authority.
Yes.
He's giving them. He's ordaining them, so to speak.
Exactly.
Based on his authority.
Mm-hmm.
And we did, I don't remember how long ago, we were doing Romans, and there was the passage in chapter 8 where, you know, when the Spirit tells our spirit that we're adopted sons and daughters, and that we're co-heirs with Christ.
Exactly.
So we are like what you're just saying about the baptism in the Jordan, we're co-heirs to that same anointing, to that same glory.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the true son. We're the adopted sons and daughters. And Paul says that we're co-heirs with him.
Yeah.
And it's really mind-boggling.
It is. And, you know, as a believer, if I think of where I was at before I came to the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can have a tendency to want to like kind of wallow back there because, oh gosh, well, this is how I see myself. Mm-hmm. But how does God see me?
Mm-hmm.
If he's sharing, if he wants to share this, the riches of his kingdom with me, as we've talked about many times, about being an heir to the kingdom and a co-heir with Christ, then we take off the old self, we put on the new self, and we have to really let that light of Christ take us and allow the Holy Spirit to form us and transform us to how God wants us to be, how he really created us to be.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, and it's, you know, the Bible says we're going to be ruling over angels.
Yeah.
Whatever that means. So I think, like, you know, some big angel will be there and I'll say, you over there, go get me another cup of coffee. Just a little bit of cream.
And the angel's going to go.
He's going to say, yes, sir.
Yes. Yes, Phil. And not begrudgingly either.
Yeah, yeah. But the authority is the important thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have any authority personally to really do anything.
Right.
I don't have the authority to say, listen, you do this, you do that. And even if you're the boss at a job, you have authority over, you know, the people that are working in that job.
Right.
But you don't have authority over their life.
Right.
He has authority over everything in heaven and earth. And of course, he's always had that authority.
Mm-hmm.
Through eternity.
Yeah.
He didn't just get the authority that day.
Right.
He's always had the authority. But now this is a really special thing because the sacrifice has been done. The resurrection has happened. This is a commissioning of these men to preach the gospel. So he's stating that he has the authority and he's showing them how he has it in a very special way because he not only has the authority in terms of power, but he's brought salvation. And it's a Trinitarian plan of salvation. And I think we talked about this before, where it talks about how Jesus offers himself through the Spirit to the Father.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's the interesting thing when you mentioned, you know, you baptize, he says you baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Right.
He doesn't say, in the names of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is one name,
right.
One God, because the Shema can't be violated. But
yeah.
Each personality within the Godhead, of course, working together, because God is Trinity. So the Son offers himself through the Spirit to the Father.
Yeah.
The Father gives authority to the Son. You know, it's you know, you could go around and around and around.
Yeah.
Because they're not separate entities that, you know, are separate beings.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, we see God the Father is the creator. God the Son mm-hmm. is the Redeemer. And mm-hmm. God the Holy Spirit is the Sanctifier mm-hmm. in Trinitarian, you know, more or less a Trinitarian theology.
Yeah.
And again, that's something that the concept of the Trinity developed over time.
Right.
After the resurrection yes. of Jesus.
Right.
After the commissioning of the apostles.
Yes.
And this understanding that, okay, God's one. There's not three gods.
Right.
And that's interesting how you bring that out, is that you baptize in the name of the Father,
mm-hmm.
in the name of the Son, and the
mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, the authority he has, and I think the book of Hebrews really brings this out. He's the eternal high priest.
Yes.
You know, there were human high priests starting with mm-hmm. Aaron. And, you know, they got old, they died, another high priest came. Next high priest got sick, died, another high priest came. He got old, he died, another right. high priest came. And it went on and on and on.
Generation after generation.
Right. But he's the eternal high priest.
Mm-hmm.
And just like once a year, the high priest went through the veil into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he went through the veil one time, because the sacrifice was once for all. And like the high priest went through with the blood of animals, as it says in Hebrews, the blood of bulls and goats.
Yeah.
He went through with his own blood.
Right.
So like the high priest, the human high priest put the blood on the mercy seat. He goes to the throne of God with his blood.
Yeah.
So, you know, the writer says our hope is anchored in that.
Yeah.
So that's his authority.
Yeah.
And I mean, not only does he have authority, he's always had the authority. But now through this act of salvation, he's become the second Adam in his humanity,
mm-hmm.
done what the first Adam couldn't do,
right.
which was obey. So now he's glorified, and Paul writes he's going to see his descendants in a long line.
Yeah.
Now, he doesn't mean biological descendants. He means we, as adopted sons and daughters,
spiritually,
are now in the kingdom
mm-hmm.
because of this.
Yes.
So this is the authority that he has. And he now has the authority to send these guys.
Because
mm-hmm. he has all authority.
Yeah.
He could have sent anybody. He could have called one of the Roman soldiers over and said, come over here, you. I'm going to send you too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he could have sent whoever he wanted.
Yeah.
But he sent these guys who are Jews because, of course, the plan of salvation has to be kept according to the scripture. Everything mm-hmm. has to be to the Jew first and then to the Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
And the Gentiles were going to be coming pretty soon after this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he has the authority to send them. And they see this because they saw him walk around with them. You know, they went out to eat with him. They sat by the sea and talked with them. They went fishing with him. They went for walks and talked about stuff. They heard him say, well, I'm going to bed now because I'm tired.
Yeah.
Let's get something to eat because I'm hungry.
Go down to Reuben's Deli and get
let's
a
go down to
sandwich.
Reuben's Deli. Yeah. And of course he would have taught him about Reuben, Jacob's son. No, yeah. We're going to get into that again. But, then they saw this amazing event of him being crucified through this horrible ordeal,
mm-hmm.
saw him being put in the tomb, saw the empty tomb, saw him. Now he's there saying, I'm sending you guys. I mean, this is all pretty mind-boggling.
Yeah.
And it's for those that really believed, this was their strength and their encouragement. And of course, in a little while, the Holy Spirit was going to come, and then they were just going to be
mm-hmm.
on fire. But this was such an experience for them, saying, wow, now he's going to send us out.
Yeah.
They didn't know what they were going to do, but he's going to send us out.
Mm-hmm.
I hear Paul Wilbur again. He's also been sent out.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a break. Remember, giftsofgraceministries.org and Facebook. We'll be back in just a minute.
Shut up, in your name, powers of darkness tremble. in the distance when we worship. The Lion of Judah roars. Strongholds crumble all around us at the presence of our Lord.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. We're down to the last 10 minutes of the show.
Already?
I can't even believe it. Anyway, we're talking about the Great Commission. So, now he tells them to go out to the nations, to go.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't tell them to stay there. He doesn't tell them to just stay where you are. You're going to go out with the gospel.
Yeah.
Kind of like stirs them up. You're going to go out all over the world. You're going to go out to all the nations. You know, it's like this imagery of, okay, let's get going.
Yeah, there's this mission.
Yeah, there's this mission to do. You know, we're not going to hang around the Sea of Galilee fishing anymore. We're going to go out into the world. And of course, this isn't just for them. This is also for us.
Yes.
Now, that doesn't mean, you know, we're all going to Kenya or we're all going to Peru or we're all going to, you know, whatever, Indonesia.
Uzbekistan. Our friend Adil.
Pastor Adil.
Yeah.
if you're listening. Oh, no, it's the middle of the night there. But anyway, you know, this is for us, too. You know, the gospel has to be taken out to wherever it is that you go. So he's stirring them up. And he's going to go. They're going to go to the nations, not just to the Jews. So that middle wall of partition in Ephesians 2:14 is going to come down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before he told them, you only preach to the Jews. You're not going to Samaria.
Yeah.
He went to Samaria to talk to the woman at the well.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good story. But he tells them not to go to Samaria.
Right.
And now he hasn't changed his mind. Now he says, you're going to go to the whole world. You're going to go to the nations. Before you weren't going to talk to the Gentiles. Now you're going to talk to the Gentiles too. And salvation is going to be offered to everyone.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what your ethnic group is. It doesn't matter what language you speak.
Right.
Anyone who comes can be saved.
Just like when the woman was begging at the table and Jesus says, you know, it's not right for the master to, to give the dog scraps.
Yeah, exactly.
Or to give the, to give the dog food from the table. And the woman says, you know, Lord, even the dogs eat the scraps off the master's table.
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't set. The time had not come yet for that message of salvation to be proclaimed to the Gentiles.
Exactly.
And, you know, as you're talking, I'm looking through Mark 16, and in the last part of Mark 16, he says to them, beginning at verse 15, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature.
Mm.
Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in me. In my name, they will drive out demons, they will speak new languages, they will pick up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
Mm.
And that was that's the anointing of the Holy Spirit that I was talking about
earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he stirs them up to go out. You know, it's kind of like when you got little birds in a nest and the mother bird like kind of says, okay,
over
let's
the
go.
Bird, yeah.
you guys got
to
learn how to fly
them to
now.
Go and fly,
you got to go. Like we teach our kids how to walk. It's like, come on, let's go. You can't just be carried around all the time.
Yeah.
So they're going to go. And it's interesting too that, you know, a few shows ago we were talking about Jonah and going to Nineveh and, you know, sometimes prophets went somewhere and said, judgment's coming on you. You know, you better turn back to God because judgment's coming on you. He didn't tell them to do that. They went to these places. They went and they preached the gospel. They didn't preach judgment. They
didn't preach
condemnation.
You're right.
They went to disciple the nations. It says make disciples of all nations.
I think they tried that once when they said, Lord, do you want us to call down fire?
Oh, yeah, call down a fire. Yeah, we'll take care of it.
No, you're missing the whole point here.
We'll take care of these guys. Come on, let's fry them. But,
let's put them in the cooker.
Would be kind of cool to do.
That's an abuse of power.
Yeah, that's right. hey, these Romans are no problem. Let's fry them. But anyway, he says to go and make disciples of all nations.
Yeah.
Teaching them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is exactly what they did. This is the cool thing I always say where Paul and Peter, all of them really, they went into these Gentile lands, told them the gospel, told them about Jesus, and people became believers.
Yeah.
Amazing. People who didn't know anything about Judaism, didn't know who Abraham was, didn't have a clue what's going on in Jerusalem or what the temple was, but they came to faith in Jesus because of what they said.
Those who did not know me will know me.
That's right.
Yeah.
In Isaiah. And so he says, you're going to go and teach them. You're going to disciple them. You're not going to go there and condemn them. You're not going to go to the Gentile lands and say, listen, you guys, you're under a judgment. He preaches them the gospel. They tell them about the kingdom. They tell them about the salvation that they can have.
Mm-hmm.
And they come to him.
They didn't use the brood of viper line on them.
Hardly ever. That's a great line. Wow. That's a great line. I recommend you don't say that to your pastors and your other leaders.
Or anybody you're trying to bring to the Lord.
Yeah. And, he wants them to teach what he's taught them.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants them to teach, because remember, all this is done in love, in the Song of Songs, it says his banner over us is love. Mm-hmm. All this is done by love. And it's so that we're not condemned. Love. We come to him so that we're not condemned.
Right. Love covers a multitude of sins.
That's right.
You know?
And so this is what they were going to do. And to encourage them further, and of course the Holy Spirit's going to come pretty soon, and I'm sure we'll do a show about that as we're getting close to Pentecost.
Yeah.
But, He gives them another really strong encouragement. He says, behold, which means listen, take note of what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to be with you the whole time.
Yeah.
I'm going to ascend back to the Father, and I'm not going to physically be here, but I'm going to be here.
I wonder if they knew that then, if they really understood that yet.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to be with you till the end of the age. That doesn't say end of the world, it says end of the age.
Yeah.
Some of the older translations weren't right.
Yeah.
And it's whatever, we're not going to get into that now, but I'm not going to be here physically, but I'm going to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always going to be walking with you. I'm always going to be strengthening you. The Holy Spirit's always going to be with you, dwelling in you, sending you out, telling you what to say. And it kind of harkens back to God sends Moses from the bush. The burning bush. He says, Okay, Moses, here's the deal. You're going to Egypt. You're going to get my people out. Jesus sends these apostles out, kind of the same way Moses was sent. They're sent out now to preach the gospel everywhere in the world, not just in Egypt, not just in Israel, not just to the Jews, but to the whole world. And he's going to be with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's interesting that at the end of that passage, there's at the very end of the book of Matthew, there's one word, amen.
Yes.
Now, again, we look at amen as, oh, good, the prayer's over. Yeah. But he's saying, this is true. Yeah. What I just told you is true. I'm going to be with you till the end of the aeon, the end of this age.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to be your power. I am going to be with you. You're going to go through all kinds of stuff, but don't worry. I'm going to be with you.
Yeah.
And so this is this great commissioning. And it's kind of a parallel to when God through the burning bush sends Moses. Don't worry. I'll take care of Pharaoh. Yeah. You just go there.
I'll be with you.
He says, don't worry. I'll be with you. You just go preach.
Yeah. Cause he was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to them.
Yeah. And little did they know what was going to happen in actually a few short days when the Holy Spirit came.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is this great commission.
Yeah.
This is a bunch of weak, uneducated guys who are doubting, don't know what's going on, and they're going to go out and preach the gospel, preach the kingdom.
Yeah.
Woo. I can't believe
it's an awesome story.
It's a great story. And we're still doing it. And you all still got to do it. It didn't end 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
Well, it's the end of another show. Hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day. We'll be back next week.
Proclaiming God's word and preaching the kingdom. So we'll hear you back right here on The Gift of Grace. Have an awesome week in the Lord, everyone. God bless.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.